All right, we are live back here at PDC. This is Channel 9 Live. I'm Dan Fernandez. Wei, why don't you introduce yourself for people who don't know who you are?
Sure. My name is Wei Zhu. I'm an engineer on the Facebook platform team.
Okay, and we are here talking about Facebook and what .NET developers and developers in general, let's talk about all developers, how you build Facebook applications, what kind of Facebook applications, and kind of what the future is. And just to remind our viewers, at CH9Live is the address. Send questions to at CH9Live. And I'll go ahead and start. So actually, okay. let's get some background on you. So how long have you worked at Facebook?
I worked at Facebook for almost exactly 2 years.
2 years, okay. Yes. So that's a long time. Was that before the F8 platform launch? That was 2007,
it's
right?
It's after.
After? Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I know they, so what's it like, a lot of people ask me, what's it like to work at Microsoft, but what's it like to work at Facebook?
Well, I actually worked at Microsoft before.
Yeah.
So I would say, working at Facebook, I feel there's couple of differences. One is that I feel incredibly old. because everybody else, it seems to be almost 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
I'm 37.
Okay.
And I feel incredibly old at Facebook, which is not a good thing. So we have a very young and energetic group of engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And at Facebook, it's very much the way you do things is very much a bottom-up approach.
Okay.
So I feel like every engineers, whether they're, just out of college or they have been in the industry for, 10, 20 years, everyone feels almost equally empowered to be able to, come up with new ideas and tackle them and just see it through. So that's one thing I really liked about Facebook. What else? We have a very, I guess as part of our young culture, we also have somewhat of a hacker culture.
Okay.
We get things done and get it out there very quickly. We have previously had a company, principle is we do things fast and we break things fast.
Fix them fast.
Yes. And so that's very much the Facebook company culture.
And what do you do for Facebook? What's a normal day for you at Facebook? Are you on the platform team? Is that correct?
That's right.
And you did a number of announcements too, so you can play into some of the things that you guys are announcing. But what's a normal day? You start with your manager poking you, right? And then you go into a meeting where you're rude to somebody and they unfriend you. Is that how it works? Somebody writes on your wall, "I hate you." What's it like?
Well, for me, I get up really, really late. I don't get up until almost 10 in the morning. So, I check my emails in the bathroom and reply them. And then I go to work.
Did you say you check your email in the bathroom?
I do.
You don't have to go to that level of detail. I don't know if you know this. Well, I just want to...
Good that you're asking that. So
it's good. We like detail.
All right.
I'm just making sure.
Yes. So I go to work and, it's like... I go to work and eat lunch and, we basically look at emails and we're just starting hack your days. Sometimes we look at the bugs, of course, we get bugs all the time, look
sure.
at the bugs. But most time, I think we sit around and, our own desk, we have a very open space and we just, do our coding. We use the this thing called IRC channel pretty frequently.
Oh, really? That's you use IRC for sort of ad hoc
very much,
collaboration?
Yeah, we use IRC a lot within our company. So engineers go to IRC, when you have, when there's, to say you're doing a push, which we do on a daily basis, and we have weekly
Oh, really?
Push.
You guys update Facebook.com once a day?
A day.
Oh, really? Multiple times a day.
But we have a weekly push where we push the entire latest code base to the production. So in those times, IRC is very critical for us engineers to keep in touch, and when something pops up, somebody say, oh, in production something fails, and we go there, we talk, and we find out the problem, and we get them fixed.
Right. It's like knowing all the pieces for deployment, like, hey, we moved this stuff over to this cluster, it's not working, and those sort of things. So everybody's on the line and knows kind of what's going on.
That's exactly right. On our weekly push, you know, by like 3 o'clock, you have to be on, every engineer have to be in on the IRC channel. And if not, if you're late for like 40 minutes, you will get an email which sent to all managers and
directors
and VP saying, here's a list of people who are not on the IRC
channel. Wow. Well, I'm sure, aren't you guys smart enough to just have a bot that auto signs in and does some key presses? So, look, wow, he's made every meeting. In fact, he hasn't left for the last 3 days.
We actually do have engineers who are smart enough to do those bots, and we also have engineers who poke them and make sure they're not bots.
Oh, that's hilarious. So you're asking questions of the bot, you know?
Well,
a Turing test so your employees that are on some beach somewhere. I love it.
That's right.
Love it.
For a couple of well-known engineers.
Yeah. Oh, so there's repeat offenders.
Well, the smart ones.
Yeah, well, I know sometimes you have to realize that there are more artists than, say, business people. And you know, things like schedules, they're big thinkers, visionaries, and they won't necessarily live by a normal schedule.
That's right.
That's what I keep telling myself when my team doesn't show up, you know, most days.
That would be my excuse, too.
Yes, yes. Now, Facebook, what's the coolest part about working at Facebook? Is it that you get to read all the private messages? Is that what? No, just kidding. No, but what's like in terms of the culture benefits, what's the one thing where you're like, wow, this is so cool, Facebook has this? And besides, obviously, the money and the stocks and the fact that, you know, you're probably going to own us all later and, you know, all that.
Or the lack of.
Yeah, what's kind of the surprise benefit, if you will?
This might sound old, like, you know, probably like a lot of people would say this about their company, but I truly feel this way, that at Facebook, as an engineer, as an individual engineer, you truly feel that you can make a difference. Mm-hmm. And you can actually see the difference you make immediately, like not immediately, like within a couple of months, you know.
Yeah.
We have, for example, we have this like almost bi-monthly event called the Hackathon, mm-hmm. where engineers just like, you know, put away their normal work and they spend overnight to hack something up, anything. You know, you could create the music, you could, you know, build anything. And then, you know, you probably spend the next couple of days and to tweak them, and then we do a demo.
And this is an internal only event, meaning like how do we get everybody at Facebook to sort of just hack on new stuff? And these are new APIs, or is it building new APIs?
Anything and everything. A lot of our great features actually come, originally come to fruition through the hackathons. So that's one example where I can see, you know, like we see some, you know, new engineers who come on board and they say, oh, you know what, I'm going to spend a couple of days hacking something. And so one of the features we introduced in the last few months, a small feature, is, well,
disclose it? If you can't disclose it,
yeah.
That's okay.
Okay.
But it's really cool and it's coming soon?
No. It's actually, it's really cool. It's like, how do you find your friends?
Yes.
You know, so,
okay.
So, you know, previously, you know, if you try to send the invitation, you have something where, you know, you get a like a friend selector box, and you know, if you have like 500 friends or 300 friends, it might be a little difficult for you to select friends. You know,
sure.
Oftentimes, you know, the friends whose first name starts A gets selected all the time, which, you know, is not necessarily the best way. So, you know, we got a couple engineers who thought, oh, you know, let's just use our graph information. You'll find, you know, most likely, you know, based on who else is your friend. So that would give us some kind of proximity. Or, you know, topics, you know, your friends, you know, live in this area. So they just come up, like, you know, within a few days, come up with a very cool feature that lets you select your friends very, very quickly and create a friends list very, very quickly.
And do you all use agile processes for planning this? Like, obviously, there's the hackathon, but it's like, hey, you know, we want to add this feature, and it's, you know, name the feature, you know, I'll just say we're going to make status updates public and make that an option and build out. It's going to be something that can't just be in a hackathon because we want to get the privacy right, we want to do this, we want to do that. Are you using agile processes? Is it like a 2-week scrum or Or does it depend on the team? And are there different sort of cultures within Facebook? Like one team does one thing, another team does another? Or
by and large, we try to work in a small group and have schedules that say no more than 3 months.
Okay.
We've tried occasionally some very large, like, you know, company-wide effort. For example, in 2008, we introduced the first major revision to Facebook, the homepage.
Mm-hmm.
We called Facebook 95.
You called it Facebook 95?
Yes, you guess where that name came from.
Oh, homage, how beautiful.
Yes, we call that
FB95. Is it your killer? Yeah, okay, all right, I love
you
it.
Know, we consider that like a major departure as, you know, like how Windows 95 did that for Windows.
Sure.
And that was a, like, you know, a bet the company major effort where, like, you know, we have every engineer working on that. I think overall it's great success, but we do find, like, postmortem that having a long, prolonged, you know, multi-disciplined process doesn't always work well.
Okay.
So I think now we're in a stage where we want to have, you know, like a small agile teams, just like, say, you know, no more than 10 people, maybe preferably 3 to 5 people, you know, focus on problems, you know, 3 months deliverables, less than 3 months.
And in terms of these teams, is it like there's one person doing the user experience? Do you have like a dedicated test team per se? Like, Microsoft, the term they use is feature crews, meaning like it's all the people that are involved in that one feature. That could be user experience design, the test team. For you guys, it'd obviously be operations. Is it kind of like that, or do you have, as a different example, Google doesn't really have testers. What they do is have their developers write unit tests. What sort of approach do you all use?
We're similar in that regard, where we also don't have dedicated testers.
Okay.
So every developer is expected to test your own code. And so in that regard, it's similar. And we oftentimes have this, you know, just virtual teams, you know, could be from different disciplines. You just ad hoc get together to focus on one project.
Okay, cool. And just a reminder here, we are at CH9 Live with your questions. And one thing I did want to make sure to mention is that there is the .NET Facebook SDK for developers that shipped recently and that is available. And it's officially supported by Facebook,
and Microsoft.
Yes, exactly. Now, one thing, you were mentioning the Facebook 95, and Athman20, I'm just going to read his question here. If we didn't like the latest change in the Facebook style, can you return it to the previous? So this is one of those things, and we had this, you know, when our product, and Jeff Hadfield had a great example. People will always hate the current product until you move to the next one, and then the previous one is the one that they absolutely love the whole time. So what is the story? Are there anything or
well,
what can you say?
Well, I think as you just said earlier very elegantly, everybody will hate their latest change. You will love the previous one, which they previously hate when they first came out, and. You know, that's exactly what happens every time Facebook make a fairly major user interface change.
Okay.
I would say, like, you know, we're not afraid of, you know, making changes. And if we do make a mistake, you know, we're not afraid of, you know, backing out and go back to old one. We don't have plans for the current change. It seems to be working pretty well. But as I said, understandably, every time when we make a new major change, they're always going to be
There's going to be that person on Twitter saying, bleh, bleh. Okay.
Right.
So now one of the things, and we've seen the folks at Twitter say this, that it's not so much the development team that they're doing, it's the operations team. And how do you start to scale and build like thousands of servers? And I know there's been at least some public information in terms of the sheer quantity of servers that Facebook has for all the data. Do you work that much with the operations team, or is it more like IRC kind of thing? And kind of in line with that, are you all looking, and this is related to this question by Andre Abrantes, are you looking at using, say, a Azure infrastructure where it's just a service, software as a service, or potentially even doing your own software as a service if you guys figure this out and make it available for anyone? So, what's your cloud story, Facebook?
Well, I'm not as familiar with the operation side, you know, as you mentioned. I think most time we communicate, you know, through IRC. Of course, our I think compared with the bigger companies, we're much closer working with the operation team than a bigger company. But I think we're doing a pretty good job in terms of scaling our server infrastructures.
Absolutely. So
I'm not sure we're considering something like Azure.
Okay, and that's okay. We have somebody, Jeff Sanquist, actually, that he's apparently watching Channel 9 live from 36,000 feet on flight home, so hopefully he won't be, turbulent and saying terrible things on Twitter. So I guess one thing that I wanted to talk about was there were a number of changes, was it about 2 weeks ago, platform changes, and for the first time you all published a roadmap. This is where Facebook is taking its development open. And how do you all, is there kind of like a summary way where you all think about what are the scenarios you're trying to enable for developers to build on Facebook? And talk about some of the things that, I guess, your team is excited about in the roadmap, and what are the key features that people get excited about?
Well, I think we're like, with this roadmap that we published about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, it was a major effort. It's basically months and months of design work and thought process and debates. But I think in principles, we're taking this roadmap out of two reasons. One is that we want to make sure that our users are getting the best experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is we want to make sure that our ecosystem is healthy. You know, the ecosystem consists of Facebook, our Facebook users, and then our more than 200,000
from the small
developer
to
communities.
The big startups like RockYou that are building, I guess, critical to their business applications on Facebook to even Microsoft that has a number of applications on Facebook.
That is correct. So so we're sort of looking at what our partners want. So for example, I think by far the biggest asks from partners is that they would like to be able to have the ability to directly communicate with users of apps without any worries that Facebook could be in some way, in the middle and stop that flow mm-hmm. unilaterally. So we hear this from our developers over and over. So to us, it's like, so one of the major changes we made is that we're going to provide the ability for developers to get the actual email address of the user, provided, of course, the user consent and give that permission.
Now let's talk about this, because this was one of those big things, 2007, 2008, Robert Scoble posting, Facebook is a walled garden and they don't expose anything. And obviously, having your emails, you could very easily build, say, a spam bot, or there's a number of things where it was. What was sort of the decision criteria for changing that? Because that was a big policy that you had done. And is it available for any applications, or in terms of the permission set, like a user just does it, or do you have almost like a whitelist? Do you have to be approved for that level of access?
I need to actually start, make sure I don't get it wrong, but I think it should be normal application process.
Okay.
So as long as you're like, you go through a normal application approval process, then you would have the ability to ask the user.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna work really hard to make sure we come up with a UI flow that is very clear to the users what they're about to give to the developer. We
okay.
want to make it very, very clear. If we couldn't, that's a must for us to do. So we're going to run a lot of user testing to make sure that we have a flow where user understand exactly what they're doing. It is a major process. But as I said, one of the things that we're trying to do from the other hand, from the user's perspective, is we want to consolidate our communication channels. Like today on Facebook, there's multiple ways apps can communicate with users.
Yeah, actually, so let's talk about that, because there's a number of ways and a number of APIs that are being deprecated, but it's not necessarily as a bad thing. It's this is the one way you should communicate. Is that fair to say?
Well, yes, or two ways. So, yeah, like today we have just way too many, you know, places like notification, you know, invitations, you've got inbox, then you've got, you know, of course, the stream. And you know, sometimes it's very confusing. Like for me, like I always get confused, what's this thing on my, you know, lower right corner that says something about notification.
Yeah, that there's a pop-up and there's three different kinds. And
yes, and I don't know where to look for, and most time I just ignore that. So,
right.
And that also tend to get very spammy. Mm-hmm. So one is, of course, we hope to, by consolidation, and ask, you know, give users the explicit way to, you know, control that access, that we will have a, you know, simplified process for both the users and developers, as well as reducing the spams. Because we're going far more towards the intentional story and intentional communication between the apps and users.
And by intentional, you mean not explicit versus implicit? Like, if I check out on Amazon, you know, at one point there was Beacon that would say, hey, you know, Dan just purchased, you know, Twilight book, and I might not want to let people know that I'm reading Twilight. And that would be embarrassing, except everyone watching. But it would send that. And so it's those sort of implicit, turn that off, and by explicit, or what do you mean by that exactly?
Well, by implicit, I meant that the, like we want to go to a model where, like, if you're going to publish a story, that either the application has asked for the explicit permission to be able to publish stories on your behalf, or that, you know, when you publish a story, that, you know, you get a prompt for that.
Okay.
Instead of, you know, like today, I think with the notification, you can just make the call that send notification to the user, at least to the user's profile pages, without any additional permissions or prompt.
And what do you in terms of the new platform features coming? What do you think is the killer? And maybe just taking a step back, how do you all view, I guess, the competition? Is, do you consider Twitter competition? Because it used to be MySpace, and it seems like it's not anymore. It's everybody seems to be talking about Twitter, or do you even, I mean, is it just that you follow the trends, and really it's more what do customers want, or what are your developer ecosystem asking for? How do you all view this, and where do you see as sort of like the killer features coming to the Facebook platform in the roadmap that you all have announced?
Well,
and yes, I am putting you
right,
on the spot.
Right. In terms of competitions, you know, I'm not sure that I can talk a whole lot. I mean, I think there's a lot. I mean, I think it's good to have competition in general.
Sure.
That's healthy. We welcome, you know, competitions. But in terms of specifics, I guess I'm
How about killer features that you think is really going to wow people in terms of the types of applications that they can build that they weren't able to build before?
Well, hopefully, I think with our better communication model, mm-hmm. that would hopefully, you know, encourage a lot of more partners who previously probably hesitated with, you know, getting on Facebook platform, and you know, now that they get the assurance that their users really are their users, hopefully we will see a lot more interesting and exciting apps and websites that it's going to utilize the Facebook, the communication channel that our platform provide. So I'm excited. I'd like to see it. I don't know exactly which one.
I'll give you my two cents. The thing that I've been most excited about is I've been playing with Silverface, because mm-hmm. With Brian Goldfarb's build and Daryl McDade and Rama and several of the other people that have been building a rich client for your inbox. I used to have over 100-something unread messages, and the web interface, and I'm used to Outlook, where I can just quickly delete. Having a rich client to be able to access that inbox, my inbox is clean. I'm down to three unread, which is crazy for me. And I think that's actually one of the coolest features that's come to Facebook platform to enable a really rich experience for the inbox. So that's my personal.
I think that's a very good point. I'm like super excited about the Silverface app that Microsoft has built. To me, I think it's perhaps one of the best desktop app examples that utilize Facebook. So I think that's a really great way that leverage both show the power of the Facebook APIs as well as of course the power of the Silverlight platform. Mm-hmm. So that's one area that I'm very excited about. Similarly, of course, with the SDKs that Microsoft released last week. To me, I think hopefully that will really encourage a very big pool of developers, namely the Microsoft developers. I think you have a million of them or more. Hopefully that would really encourage that many developers to be able to use through a very convenient SDK to utilize the Facebook features.
Sure. And we have some questions from Twitter. I'll go to Andre Abrantes. Which languages did you use to make the Facebook? I think he's referring to programming languages.
Programming languages.
And do you call it the Facebook, or you just call it Facebook?
We call it Facebook.
Okay, it's like the USA Today. Okay, so programming languages, because I've heard some PHP, I've heard some C++ in the back end, and I'll let you answer.
Right, so we, Facebook, we use, all kinds of languages. I think primarily we use PHP on our web front end, and some of our backend, of course, we use C++ for a good portion of our backend. We also utilize Java for other parts, and we actually even use another language called Erlang to build our chat servers.
Ooh.
Yes, we and of course in Java, JavaScript, HTML.
Yeah, so it's pretty widespread, is kind of...
Yes, we try to basically...
Primarily PHP on the front end and some of the C++ stuff on the back end.
That's correct.
Okay. I have another question. Sethakon, I hope that's correct. Sethakon, would it not be nice to have a desktop interface for Facebook similar to a Hulu desktop? Any plans down the lane? So certainly we talked about Facebook as being one option Silverface being one desktop option for Facebook. Is Facebook gonna build or I'm not asking you to break news. Yes, I am. Tell us, is Facebook gonna plan to build a desktop version or have you all considered that?
I think it's certainly one of the ideas that people have raised, and we've talked about it. I don't think we have any anything concrete or any concrete plans to do that on our own.
Okay.
I think there is, we really are looking at our partners and all you developers out there, hundreds of thousands of them, to actually be able to utilize our platform to be able to build something on desktop, on the web. I think a few weeks ago when our CEO Zuck was giving a talk about our new roadmap, he mentioned that down the road we'd hope that people can build not just desktop, but build websites that can have all the functionality of Facebook.
Sure.
And then we'd welcome that.
Of course. And I think that's one thing, and we have about a minute left. One of the things I wanted to make sure to say is how developers get started. So there is developer.facebook.com. Mm-hmm. It's developers.
Developers.
It's plural. Developers.facebook.com. And codeplex.com Facebook Toolkit is the download for the SDK if you want the source code. Any other research, any other sites or places that you'd recommend for developers getting started on Facebook?
Well, I think our developer website is a really good place where we have basically...
The wiki.
We have the wiki page where I think most of our documentations and various other things are stored, and articles are stored in there. And we have, of course, a developer forum that is also very, very popular. It has multiple topics. Then we also even have an IRC channel. I don't remember the name, but you can look it up from our wiki page.
Okay.
Where a lot of Facebook developers hang out and talk.
Okay. All right. Well, Weizhu, thank you very much for your time. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Dan.
Cool. Thanks.